With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive and what Fanning would call it. Today is the start of baseball season nationally. Carrington Harrison here. Braden Kiley here. You know what? I decided I'm going to take it a little easy on BK because I went in there before the start of the show. And I don't know if you ever see this or not, but Brandon has all the buttons mapped out on a sheet of notebook paper.
What do you mean?
So like,
what do you mean all the buttons?
The microphone. He has like, this button's the mic. This button is something else. Like literally he has a chart for everything that's back there.
I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah.
So like I've been kind of hard on him and now I'm seeing how he can't, you know, do all the things we need him to do yet.
Yeah.
He's still got training reels on. So you know what? I'm going to take it easy on you today.
Everybody's got to have a process,
that's
right?
All
right?
Okay.
It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley here. He is our producer. We'll learn more about him and Brandon's random facts coming up in about 45 minutes or so. We'll also give you a chance to win a prize, $25 to Twin Peaks. There is no national contest. You have to just stick around for our beautiful smiles. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley here. To my right, the one and the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
Good, man. How you doing? It does feel like baseball season. At least it looks like it outside. And yesterday, it certainly felt like baseball season, my friend.
I kind of think it's college basketball season because we went through the I'm worried about KU winning the Big 12, and then they beat the second best team in the Big 12 by about a million points. But yes, baseball season is right around the corner. We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. Fanning actually enjoyed yesterday's Super Bowl. We'll talk about that. We'll also take a minute. A lot of Chiefs fans had the Chiefs on the mind yesterday. There's a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. Let me say this. Let's start the week off with apologies. I apologize, Kansas City, because last week I asked you guys a question, and I was legitimately confused. Last week we were talking a lot of Super Bowl. We were talking a lot of MVP. We were talking a lot about the things that were happening, and then it just kind of dawned on me. Man, Tony Gonzalez has a chance to get into the Hall of Fame first ballot. Some of you love Tony Gonzalez. Your first Chiefs jersey was a Tony Gonzalez jersey. You tried to dunk on the goalpost because of Tony Gonzalez. Why is this not a bigger deal in Kansas City? And you guys kept texting and giving me your reasons. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I didn't take it very seriously. And then I hopped on the Twitter machine this weekend, and I saw how seriously I should have taken your words. This is what I said last week on The Drive.
Tony Gonzalez is going to go in a really good class. Yeah. Champ Bailey might be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Ed Reed might be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Man, Tony Gonzalez, first ballot Hall of Fame. It's not a whole lot of those walking around right now. I feel like something really cool is happening in Kansas City, and it doesn't appear to be nearly as big as it should be.
So it wasn't a big deal. I also said this during the hits on Thursday. Tony Gonzalez getting in and it's being absolutely no buzz for it. Maybe you want to factor it into he played his final days for the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe that's it, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm confused because many of you, your first Chiefs jersey was a Tony Gonzalez jersey. Some of your favorite players of all time, I guess pre-Patrick Mahomes, was Tony Gonzalez. He could arguably be on the Mount Rushmore of greatest players to ever play for the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like this should be a lot bigger deal than what it is.
And as I said, I didn't understand it last week. I didn't understand why it wasn't a big deal. You guys were sending me tweets. You guys were sending comments that Tony Gonzalez had said. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I didn't really understand. And then Saturday happened.
You know what, Falcons, honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
Yeah, and I said it last week that to me, Tony Gonzalez does not feel like a Kansas Cityan. I mean, I could name you a bunch of guys that aren't near as talented and near as accomplished as Tony Gonzalez that people care about in Kansas City more than him. I could throw Danny Duffy on that list or Gerard Dyson. You know, guys like that. Derek Johnson, who's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Those guys, to me, come across as Kansas Cityans. And I think the biggest thing with what Tony Gonzalez had to say there, C-Dot, was that he came across as ungrateful to Kansas City. He came across as a guy that didn't appreciate the opportunity that he was given in Kansas City to play here. And I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It, to me, it was similar to the time when Steve Bono came out and said the worst restaurant in San Francisco is better than the best restaurant in Kansas City. Steve Bono forever will be hated in Kansas City. Now, I don't think it'll be that way for Tony Gonzalez, but that cut deep with a lot of Chiefs fans that spent money and time and emotion rooting for him and supporting him and being at a Chiefs game. So I get where Chiefs fans are coming from. I felt a disconnect between Tony Gonzalez and Kansas City. I've felt it for a long time. And I don't necessarily know why, but I felt it. I didn't feel like he was part of our community, and he didn't want to be part of our community. And this, to me, kind of backed up what he was saying.
I at least understand it a little bit from the Steve Bono perspective of Steve Bono has reasons to be a lot more jaded towards Kansas City than Tony Gonzalez. Like, I lived in Kansas City during the same time frame. It's not like a lot of people's favorite Kansas City Chief was Steve Bono. A lot of us are upset that they had Steve Bono as the quarterback. So I can see how Steve Bono gets away from Kansas City and still feels some kind of way towards the city. So that comment, I'm with you, it's petty. It's not true. But I at least understand why he would feel that way. I don't really understand Tony Gonzalez's play here. Like, I don't really get it.
It was dumb. I mean, that's really what it was. It was dumb. What he said was dumb.
Because I look at Tony Gonzalez, and again, some of you, your favorite Kansas City Chief was Tony Gonzalez. The first jersey that your uncle got you, or your father got you, or whoever cared about you in your life was Tony Gonzalez. I would consider Tony Gonzalez to be, I never felt the disconnect that you felt. Now, I'm not going to say that I put him on the same level of somebody like George Brett.
Sure.
But I always thought that Tony Gonzalez was one of the beloved players for Kansas City. That during a time frame, I would say in that post-Derek Thomas era, I thought that there was a time that Tony Gonzalez was the most popular and most famous person in Kansas City. There was certainly a time in Kansas City, so I never felt like there was that disconnect. But I could see how, if Tony Gonzalez was your favorite player this pre-Patrick Mahomes era, I can see how you can say, you know what, I'm not a Tony Gonzalez fan anymore. I had planned on going to Canton, Ohio to see him inducted in the Hall of Fame, and now I don't want to go anymore. He's not my favorite Chief. I can understand how you can be pissed off about what Tony Gonzalez said over this Saturday. I apologize for not understanding the Hall of Fame stuff last week.
Yeah.
Now, I still will say is he still had a tremendous career here in Kansas City.
Sure he did.
I don't think his frustration is geared towards you, the fan, and we'll continue to talk about it. But I can understand how a city as proud as Kansas City is and loves its athletes the way that Kansas City does, how you could be turned off by what Tony Gonzalez said.
I mean, the worst thing you can feel in any type of relationship, Carrington, is feeling unappreciated. You know, and we know how, and I think you put it well, how proud we are of being Kansas Cityans and how proud we are of our town. And I think what a lot of fans felt when they heard that was that they felt unappreciated. And that's the worst possible thing that you can feel like in a relationship. And of course, we're not in a true relationship with Tony Gonzalez. But when you have people spending time and emotion, you feel like you know these guys, especially back when Tony Gonzalez played. I mean, it was different. The internet hadn't really taken off. You couldn't communicate with athletes, you know, on social media. You couldn't do all this stuff. People in Kansas City felt that, like they had a legitimate connection with Tony Gonzalez, and they supported him. And so when you're that heavily invested in somebody that you root for and that you care for, not to mention, I mean, Chiefs fans have got to be some of the most passionate fans in all the NFL, if not over the top. I know Philly's big. I know Patriots fans are big. But when it comes to our town and our Kansas City Chiefs, people care about them. They want to feel like they're connected to them. And when Tony Gonzalez comes out and says that and says those things and says that Atlanta is what made his career – that's going to sting people the wrong way. And I don't blame anybody that if you were planning on putting on your 20-year-old Tony Gonzalez jersey that's the letters are fading out on it and driving to Canton to see the induction speech, that if you don't want to go, I don't blame you right now. Tony Gonzalez came off as completely tone deaf when he said those comments in Atlanta.
I do want to play this because I think it is always fair, especially now where you take a 20-second clip or a 30-second clip and we take people out of context, I do think it's fair to listen to the apology. So this is what Tony Gonzalez said after expected. It was a social media firestorm about his comments. Here's what he had to say, and this is directed towards Chiefs fans.
Hey, what's up, Chiefs fans? Tony Gonzalez here. I'm apologizing. I did not send this video out yesterday, but I was in Atlanta, and, of course, it was all pretty much Atlanta reporters, and they put the video and said, send it out to the Atlanta Falcon fans. But now it's your turn, Kansas City Chiefs fans. I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. The 12 years I spent there were fantastic. I always tell people I became a man, obviously on the field, but off the field as well out in Kansas City. And the fan support that I had out there is second to none. I always tell it's diehards. and people that supported me through the tough times and through the great times that we had out there in Kansas City. And I'm looking forward to Canton. For those that can make it, I would love that, first of all. And I just want to tell you guys once again, thank you for my marvelous 12 years out there in Kansas City. Go Chiefs.
So that was Tony Gonzalez yesterday on his Twitter account trying to put out the fire that was caused on social media. As someone who is upset about this, yeah, a lifelong Chiefs fan, do you accept the apology of Tony Gonzalez?
I don't. I'm sorry. He just came out and told us we don't matter to him. And now he's like, oh, man, now I'm getting slaughtered here. I don't. I mean, I think it's one of those things where Tony Gonzalez made a mistake, and he didn't realize the mistake that he was making. And once he got caught in that mistake, he had to come out and make it right. So I don't buy it. Tony Gonzalez, to me, comes off as somebody that's extremely socially awkward. That apology did not, at least in my opinion, come off as completely sincere. I think Tony Gonzalez is so detached from the typical Chiefs fan or the fan that he didn't even understand what he was doing. And that apology to me came off the same way. Wow, I said something. Now a bunch of people hate me. Okay, now I got to come out and say I'm sorry for it. No, Tony Gonzalez said what he said when he was in Atlanta. And I think he meant it. And I think he believes it. And so now he's got to come out and cover his ass because there's a bunch of people in Kansas City where he was drafted, developed, and spent 12 years here and was a Hall of Famer before he went to Atlanta. He's got to come out and cover his ass. So no, I'm not buying it.
I'm going to give Tony Gonzalez this benefit of the doubt. Because being in the media, we've certainly been in situations where you know the person you're talking to wants to play to the hometown crowd. It's not like the Super Bowl was in Kansas City, Missouri. You played your final years for the Atlanta Falcons. You're going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame this weekend in Atlanta. You won your one playoff game in Atlanta. So I definitely think he was playing a little bit towards the hometown crowd. It's not that different for me than whenever Jamal Charles got cut, what was it, 2 years ago, and then you remember Jamal talking to people in Denver, but you remember.
I think it's totally different, though, because the emotion was still raw from Jamal. He just got cut. He was still playing, and he went out to Denver. Tony Gonzalez has had how many years? How many years has he had to get ready to say that?
I would say, I would argue that what Jamal said was worse than what Tony Gonzalez said. Jamal was saying how he always dreamed of playing for the Broncos. He literally said, I dreamed my entire time. I would argue that what Jamal Charles said, if we're going to, I mean, neither one of us that bad.
Yeah.
I would say if we had to rank it of what was worse. Jamal got cut from the Chiefs, clearly wanted to play for the Chiefs, went out to Denver, and basically said the entire time, I've always wanted to play for the Broncos. I've always loved Denver. Now I finally get the opportunity to do it, knowing you were going to have to play the Chiefs again. I would argue that's worse than what Tony Gonzalez did. Super Bowl weekend in Atlanta, you're talking to Atlanta reporters. You get asked a question about Atlanta, so you answer it in a very pro-Atlanta way.
See, I disagree because, I mean, what happens when you're emotional and you're pissed off? Oftentimes you say some things you don't mean. And I think that's what Jamal said. Tony Gonzalez had a lot of time in between the end of his, from the last time he played in Kansas City, hell, from the last time he played in Atlanta. He had a lot of time before he had a chance to say this. I will give you, he was in Atlanta and maybe he was playing to an Atlanta crowd. I'll give you that. But that to me came off as very genuine, that he truly believes that his career was cemented and was better when he went to the Atlanta Falcons. So I just know from experience, and everybody out there can say this. I guarantee you, 100% of the people listening right now know that they've said something when they're emotional that they regret. That was Jamal Charles. Tony Gonzalez had a lot of time before he had that comment. I'm not buying it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the Super Bowl and the barn burner that was. But first, I actually don't think Tony Gonzalez has any issue with you, the fan. I think it's clear who his issue is with. I'll tell you who it is. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, we're talking about Tony Gonzalez. If you missed it over the weekend, he caused a little bit of a firestorm with these comments.
You know what, Falcons, honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden, now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
So that was Tony Gonzalez as he met with the Atlanta media over the Super Bowl weekend. And many of you are upset. And this is one of the times, like, I get it. I completely understand why you would be really upset by what Tony Gonzalez had to say. And if you said, I'm done with Tony Gonzalez, I wouldn't fault you that much for it, even through the apology. Someone on the text line put, why couldn't Tony have just said that even though he played much of his time here in Kansas City, he's grateful for the years he played in Atlanta and had success there? I think if you can go back and ask Tony Gonzalez, would you say it a different way? I think he definitely communicates his thoughts in a much better way than it came off. And he tried to clean it up with an apology that many of you are not accepting. And I get that too. But one thing, Fanning, I've learned as I've gotten older is sometimes you got to see things from other people's perspective. And I'll say this. I actually don't think that Tony Gonzalez has any issue with you, the fan. I don't think any of his frustration, I don't think any of those comments are directed at Chiefs fans. I think those comments are directed at Lamar Hunt. I think those comments are directed at Clark Hunt. I think those comments are directed towards Carl Peterson. I think that Tony Gonzalez has a serious problem with the Chiefs organization. I don't think he has a problem at all with Chiefs fans. Just think about it from Tony Gonzalez's perspective. Imagine if you put together a Hall of Fame career and you were arguably, by a lot of people, considered to be the greatest player at your position. Imagine you show up for work every single day. What, has Tony Gonzalez missed two games in his NFL career?
Something like
you
that.
You show up every single day and play at a high level. And it doesn't matter if they got Brody Croyle throwing you the ball or Trent Green throwing you the ball. Or it doesn't matter. You show up and you ball out and you do everything that you're supposed to do. And then when your contract comes up and you can be a free agent, Carl Peterson says, you know what? We want to win a Super Bowl here and you're a big part of it. And you believe that individual. And then you sign another contract and you keep doing what you're supposed to do. But year after year passes, they never get you the resources that you need to go to the Super Bowl. And you're there fighting through injuries. You got a hip thing and a back thing and a knee thing. And you continue to fight and give everything you can. You continue to be a great asset in the community. Never get in trouble off the field. Never any kind of mess circulating with Tony Gonzalez. You're a leader in the clubhouse. You do everything that you're supposed to do as an NFL player. And you get, I think, in his mind, very little back from the organization. I can see how you can be dismayed at that. I can see how you can be frustrated. And then, eventually, you reach a level of frustration. Hey, I don't know how much longer I got in the NFL. I played here for 12, 11 years. I don't know how much longer I can play in this. Let me go to an organization that I think is better and give me a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. And then you get there. And then you get Matt Ryan at age 24 years old, a quarterback better than you've ever played with. You get a nice stadium. You get a city. You get everything that you had ever wanted. I bet if you ask Tony Gonzalez, he goes, damn, it could have been like this the whole time. I could have been playing here for the Atlanta Falcons. That I'm not saying that that Falcons fans are better than Chiefs fans, but the Falcons organization over the time that Tony Gonzalez was in the NFL was a better organization than Kansas City's organization. I can see from his perspective how you don't have any issues with the fans that treated you right, treated you like a superstar. And again, I think there was a time that Tony Gonzalez was the most famous person in Kansas City. But I 100% can understand how Tony Gonzalez has a problem with Carl Peterson. I can 100% understand how he has a problem with Lamar and Clark Hunt. Of, I gave you guys everything. I risked my life on the line every Sunday. I did my job. You guys didn't do yours. I can see how you can be frustrated at that.
Well, then he should have said that. You know, then he should have said it that way if that's the way he feels. You know, I mean, let's not forget here that the Chiefs, you know, he had a chance to go there and be a winner in Atlanta, right? That's what he told us. He had a couple of 13-3 teams in Kansas City with a number one seed, right? So it's not like he was on a bunch of 6-10s. You know, I mean, he had those in there too. Don't get me wrong. He had a couple of stinkers in there for sure. But he had a 13-3 team in 2003. He had a 13-3 team in 1997, his rookie year. So he played on some good football teams that went to the playoffs.
Not a lot, though, but you're
I know,
right.
You're right. And Matt Ryan is better than Tyler Thigpen and Brody Croyle and whoever else threw him passes over the course of his career. But he didn't say that. He said Kansas City. He said Atlanta. He said Kansas City. He didn't say, and when you say Kansas City, you're saying that we weren't good enough for you. That's the way it came off with the way he said it.
But then,
now, if he didn't mean it, then he should have said it a different way.
But I think if you really listen to it, and then especially at the end where he talks about playing in bigger games, like listen to it again, and I think like detach the concept of fan from it and attach organization to it, and I think you'll hear these comments a lot differently.
You know what, Falcons, honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
I think if you remove the fan aspect from it, and I understand how it's difficult for fans to do that, and you think about it through the two organizations, how they both have performed in the league since Tony Gonzalez got here, the success that he experienced in Atlanta, think about it. He played in two playoff games, or he won, or he played in two playoff games in Kansas City.
Three. Played in three.
Or so And then he matched it in Atlanta. He had way more personal success in Atlanta and team success in Atlanta than he had in Kansas City. I'm just saying is if you spin it and you remove the fan part of it and attach it to organizations, if you attach it to the kind of owner that Arthur Blank is, you attach it to Clark Hunt, I think you hear those comments a lot different.
I mean, you can spin it anywhere you want, but that's not what he said. That's not the way it came off to fans. You know, I think that's the biggest frustration from a fan perspective when you feel like a guy that you rooted for is completely disconnected from you. You know, I think Danny Duffy does a great job of that in Kansas City. You know, I mean, you know, Danny Duffy with a DUI falling asleep in a Burger King parking lot. People in Kansas City still love him because you know why? He is connected to the fans and he makes an effort to do so. You know, so I think players, and I guess I could partially understand this, that you're making a ton of money. Tony Gonzalez made over $72 million over the course of his career. The majority of it was here in Kansas City. So, yeah, he's basically saying that Atlanta, he wanted to be in Atlanta more than he wanted to be in Kansas City, and that made his career. And I understand why that pisses fans off. They feel disconnected. Tony Gonzalez isn't around Kansas City much. Not here. I mean, he's an L.A. guy, right? He's Mr. Bigwig, you know, on Fox and on CBS for a while. He's doing all those things. He comes across as Kansas City's beneath him. That's the way it kind of comes across to me. And I think that's part of the reason why there's a disconnect. So it's one thing to sort of feel that and get that vibe from him, but it's another thing for him to come out and say it like he did over the weekend. So I get why fans are pissed. Now, maybe Tony just – maybe you're right, C-Dot. Maybe his issue is with the organization. Then go that direction if you want to do that. You know, but that's not what he said. And that's and I think what he did, in my opinion – and, I'm going to be over it tomorrow. Like, I don't care. I'm going to be past it. But I think from a fan's perspective, there's some people that won't forgive him for that.
Do you think there's anything he could do? Because it appears from the text line that his apology doesn't hold a whole lot of weight.
Yeah.
He went out there, and I don't care. I don't know if it came from the PR people. I don't know if he decided to do it.
I'm sure it did.
He at least took some time out of his day to direct and say, hey, that's not how I meant it. I apologize. Hey, this is how you guys did this for me, X, Y, and Z. I meant it. Do you think there's anything Tony Gonzalez can do to erase the last 48 hours of his life?
Yeah, I mean, I think people will forget about it. They're going to get pissed off about something here in the next 20 minutes, and they'll forget about it. Forget it ever happened. And then the induction ceremony will come around, and then some fans are like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go down there. You know, so if I'm Tony Gonzalez, I just stay out of the way. I don't say a damn thing from here on out. I just steer clear of it. And if anybody asks me about it, you know, the closer you get to the Hall of Fame, then you tell them, you know what, I really screwed up. And the way I said it was wrong. And those people in Kansas City supported me and loved me. And I made a mistake. Because to me, his apology right there came like, oh, crap, I screwed up. I got to do a quick apology. It didn't feel heartfelt to me. But if Tony Gonzalez can, if whenever he's got a microphone in front of him over the next, you know, however many months before you lead up to the Hall of Fame, if Tony Gonzalez can work in Kansas City and say, hey, listen, I screwed up, man. I just want to say again, I'm really, really sorry. I wasn't thinking. I was in Atlanta. You know, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm legitimately sorry, and I understand that I've hurt a lot of people in Kansas City with the things that I said. I think he can get through it, absolutely. I mean, but, you know, time's going to heal this whole thing, and I totally get why fans are pissed because he basically said a bigger city's better than Kansas City, and the Atlanta Falcons made his career when the Chiefs drafted, developed him, and had a couple of 13-3 teams here when he was a Hall of Famer before he went to Atlanta in Kansas City, despite the crummy quarterbacks that he played with here, other than Rich Gannon and Elvis Kerbeck.
Text line 69306, it feels like one was for national media and the other one was a Facebook post. Someone else says, hey, go sign my petition on change.org. Clark Hunt, please remove Tony Gonzalez's name from the Chiefs
Ring
of Honor.
Much.
Let's calm down a little bit
I'm not on board with that.
Let's calm down just a little bit here.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, Fanning enjoyed the Super Bowl. He tells us why. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So I gave our new producer, Brandon Kiley, one task today. I said, find me the most exciting play from the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter what it is. Give me the most exciting play from the Super Bowl.
He didn't do the record-setting punt, did he?
This is what he got for me.
Oh, boy.
I told him pick the best play. I didn't lead him in any direction. I said,
sure,
make a
didn't.
Highlight yep, of the yep. best play from yesterday's Super Bowl, and that's what he came up with. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you guys a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks. We'll actually learn more about our guy, Brandon Kiley, as we have Brandon Random Facts, and we'll all take a minute. So, I didn't find the Super Bowl to be that enjoyable.
Yeah, I saw your tweets.
Brandon Kiley didn't take the Super Bowl to be that enjoyable. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
I come in here today And Fanning, you enjoyed last night's Super Bowl.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Yeah. I mean, let me preface it by saying this. Like, this is the first Super Bowl that I've watched since I can remember that I wasn't at a party. My wife ended up doing an overnight shift at the hospital, and I was going to watch with my stepson, and then he decided to go to his girlfriend. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to actually watch the Super Bowl by myself. I'm going to pay attention to the commercials. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to watch this thing closely instead of knocking back about 10 Tecates and a couple of Tito's. And I actually enjoyed the game. I really did. And I saw people complaining about it, complaining about it, complaining about it. So I changed the name of the Super Bowl. I'm calling it the Anti-Millennial Bowl. Because we're so overstimulated that we can no longer appreciate a low-scoring defensive game. I'm bored. I see it all the time with people. They get bored so easily. I mean, we talked about wanting better defense in Kansas City the entire freaking season. I mean, last night, it was a great defensive battle in this game. I mean, it wasn't super sloppy other than a couple of missed field goals. It wasn't super sloppy at all. It was just a really good defensive game. Jared Goff got hit 12 times. He was sacked 4 times. The Rams only ran for 62 yards. So the Patriots went out there. They stuffed the run. They got to the quarterback. I mean, Brady got hit 4 times. He was only sacked once, but the Rams were all over him for the majority of the time. They affected him. I thought, you know, you can have a great game that's not 54-51. I'm not going to lie. I like the 54-51 Rams game. I don't want to see it every week. Because, I mean, that'd almost be like an NBA game. Why do I need to watch the first and the second quarters if it's going to come down to the fourth quarter and then that and the last team that scores wins? You know, I thought there was a lot of drama. And I think part of it was is because growing up, when the Chiefs had no chance to get in the Super Bowl, in the mid-'80s through the late 90s, there were 13 straight Super Bowls won by the NFC team, and the majority of them were blowouts. This game came down to the wire. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't like the most – it wasn't like – Tom Brady coming back from being down 28-3 or anything like that. But we saw good defense in this game. And I think it shows you right there that's exactly what the Chiefs needed. So I enjoyed it because I didn't know how it was going to play out. I mean, the Rams looked like they were going to – I mean, if you just watch the game, the Rams were getting no first downs, doing nothing in the first half, but they managed to only be down 3-0. They tie it with a field goal after a sack that looked like it may have knocked him out of field goal position. And then they make the field goal. We got a 3-3 game coming down to the wire. So, yeah, I enjoyed the defensive part of this game because it was different.
I'm not trying to be funny here. When you say that this game was very dramatic, when was the drama part? Because the drama for me was not in the first, second, or third quarter.
Yeah.
It was dramatic after 3-3, and then the Patriots have done what they've done probably, what, 120 times? We're going to go right down the field. We're going to score. And then I think everybody watching that game knew Jared Goff was about to mess this up for everybody. Like, you could see that coming a mile away in this game. I'm with you. It was close. No one can deny that it was close. I'm trying to find where the drama was in this game because I don't think there was a whole lot yesterday.
I just kept waiting for the Rams to explode.
And they never did
that. No, I know. But
it was that one red zone play we saw. I think that's what did it.
No, but I mean, seriously, they were like 0 for on third down for a long time in this game, correct? And then I'm like, man, there's no way that the Patriots can hold these guys, the Rams, who were averaged over 30 a game. There's no way.
They had the fewest points, yards, passing yards, and first downs in the first half under Sean McVay.
The game yesterday.
Crazy. That's what I kept waiting. I'm like, okay, you got me, you got me, you got me.
And then it never paid off at any point. Like, I'm with you. I kept expecting, because I was thinking it was going to be very similar to the first half of the Chiefs game. Now, it was 14-0, but I'm thinking, all right, second half, McVay's going to make an adjustment. Belichick's going to make an adjustment. This game's going to get better. And then we all had to sit through Maroon 5 and whatever the hell Adam Levine was doing. I don't know what he was doing.
It was a nipple hypocrisy.
I don't know what was happening in that. But I'm thinking, all right, second half, let's get this thing going. Nope, that never happened at any point. I'll say this. If that game was a Thursday night Bengals against Jacksonville, everybody would be on the same page about this game.
I agree with you.
That was not a great defensive game. Jared Goff looked like one of the 5 worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Because he
yesterday.
Was getting hit. He was getting crushed by the Patriots.
He looked absolutely terrible yesterday. I'm with you. I don't need every game to be 54-51. That was one of the 5 worst games of the NFL season.
See, I don't know. I disagree with you on it. I'm with you. It's a Thursday night game. It's a freaking dumpster fire, and I'm doing something else. But the freaking championship was on the line. This is the freaking Super Bowl. And these two teams came out and played their ass off on defense. So I just think we're so, oh, I need home runs, man. I need 94-yard touchdown passes. I need this. I need that. That's great.
I need scoring opportunities. I didn't get a whole lot of that. I need exceptional. Let me
but there's
ask
a championship on the line, which is what kept me in it. If this was a Sunday game, I'm not watching
so
that
game. So we agree the actual game within itself is not a very exciting game. But the stakes on the line.
Yes, and I love the defensive part of it, too, because, again, it's something we don't get to see very often in the NFL. We rarely see it, and we saw it in a championship game. I'm not putting this isn't a 10 out of a 10. I mean, I'd give it a 6, but I thought the drama was there. I thought Gronk had two catches late. Edelman was Edelman. You know, Brady made the perfect throw to Gronk in the perfect situation that got him the win. There were some really good spots in that game, and I get it. It's not for everybody. I understand it. I just think when the championship's on the line, and the NFL is going all offense. Can't stop any offense. It's not possible.
I would have took a nice 24-21 game.
Fair enough.
I would have very easily had taken a 24-21.
And I understand that.
In this game, I'm being serious. How many good, enjoyable plays do you think run this game? I think whenever we look back 3, 4, 5 years from now for the Super Bowl, I don't know why anyone would want to look back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What will you remember? Because I don't really think there were many big plays in this game. I would say the interception with Stephon Gilmore at the end of the fourth quarter that clearly cemented the game, I would say that was the big play. I'm kind of struggling after that to find the big transcendent plays in this game.
Really? I mean, Brady getting picked off on his first pass attempt got my attention.
But you're not going to remember that 5 years from now because ultimately the Rams lost and never really showed up.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying watching that game, like, uh-oh. The Rams came to play. They just picked off Brady right out of the gate. Yeah, now you got my because before I was about to tweet right then. When that happened, I was about to tweet.
Then we realized that was not the case.
I know, very quickly. But I was about to tweet right there. I'm like, boy, this drive looks familiar. Rams win the toss. They defer to the Patriots, and they just run the football right down their throat. And then Brady gets picked off. Okay, so I'm like, okay, now you got me. That's something that the Chiefs weren't able to do in the AFC title game against Brady when they were running the football down their throat. I mean, obviously, to me, the play that's going to stand out the most is that great throw to Gronk that set up the touchdown. Because that throw was ridiculous. I mean, Gronk had dudes draped all over him. He had three guys around him, and he made a hell of a catch on it. A guy that you consider to be washed up and done, Gronk made two huge plays on the drive at the end of the game. And that the throw that Brady made before that to Gronk on that drive, beautiful touch pass to him. Yeah, and then Edelman made a big play on that drive. It was typical Patriots. It was typical Brady. Like, when they needed to make a play, when they needed to put a drive together, when they haven't been able to do it all night, really, they did it. And that throw to Gronk is the one that I'll always remember.
Yeah, I'll say the interception by Stephon Gilmore, the Gronk big catch. Edelman had that big 27-yard catch. I think it was on that same drive. That was a big play. I just think that the Super Bowl just lacked any excitement. There's not one commercial we're talking about today. There's not one play from the game we're talking about today. America didn't appear to really like the halftime show. Like, that was the most unforgettable Super Bowl that I think we've had in the last 15 years. Just of, like, big moments. Like, I'm saying even in blowouts, like, even when Seattle beat the hell out of the Broncos, it was just, oh, my God, I can't believe that a team did that to the Denver Broncos. We saw the Broncos scoring on everybody. Man, that game had more exciting moments than I thought yesterday. Like, I'm really trying to think of, in the last 15 years, a Super Bowl that was as forgettable as last night's, and I really can't find
Steelers,
it.
Steelers Seahawks is the only one.
Which one?
Yeah, Steelers Seahawks. That's the only one.
And I was at that game.
That's the other one that's on this level.
I was at that game, and it was not a good game.
That one might be better than this one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Barely, but that one might be a little bit better. Yeah,
if you're using a reference point, like, that's it. But yeah, I don't know.
This was close, and maybe this just goes back to my childhood when, like, you get pumped up for the Super Bowl and you watch them, and then they're terrible every single year. And so I at least this game was close, and we saw really good defense, and we saw great plays at the end to make it happen. I can appreciate that, you know. And again, it was different than any game we saw in the regular season because everybody was lighting the scoreboards up. You know, in the regular season, everything's on the line in the Super Bowl, and those two defenses came to play.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather go to the dentist tomorrow or rewatch this game?
I would rather rewatch this game. I don't like going to the dentist.
If you had to have a 24-hour stomach bug or rewatch the Super Bowl, which would you pick?
I would watch the Super Bowl again, absolutely.
I'm definitely taking going to the dentist tomorrow.
I thought you were going to say the 24-hour stomach bug. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not going. I don't need a drill. I don't need smoke coming out of my mouth. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to have half my face numb. I don't need any of that stuff. I don't need that. I'll watch the Super Bowl again.
I would be perfectly fine if we never talked about the Super Bowl after today and what we just watched ever
again.
Probably
won't, right?
I'd be perfectly fine if Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones dropped down, they gave us the little flashy thing, and we all forget that it happens. Like, just imagine this. Imagine somebody was out of town. They were out of the country, and they didn't get to see a second of the game, and they say, hey, I missed Super Bowl. What did I miss? What are you telling them that they missed? Because I'm telling them, bro, you didn't miss nothing. You missed absolutely nothing from the Super Bowl this year. Didn't miss one commercial. You didn't miss one play. Yeah. You missed absolutely nothing from yesterday's
Super Bowl. The two best commercials for me, obviously, I think the 100-year deal for the NFL was great.
That was good.
That was a fantastic commercial with Mahomes throwing the no-look pass. I love that. And this is kind of corny. I don't know. But I like the Anthony Lynn first responders commercial when the first responders that saved him. And then he had no idea that they were the ones that he was talking to. And then they told him that they were the first on the scene that saved him in a car wreck. I thought that was fantastic. I think those commercials by Verizon were really good. But overall, you're right. I mean, the commercials weren't like typical blow you out of the water for sure.
Yeah, and neither was the game yesterday. Yeah. And neither was the halftime show yesterday. I'm telling you, stunk was yesterday's Super Bowl 53. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks. We'll also learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, with Brandon's Random Facts. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, a lot of you are texting in commercials that you enjoyed from yesterday's Super Bowl. I actually have a theory when it comes to Super Bowl commercials. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. We were kind of going back and forth. Fanning enjoyed the Super Bowl. Brandon and I were not fans of the Super Bowl. It just... I don't even know if I can call that a great defensive game yesterday. I thought that Tom Brady was really bad yesterday. I thought that Jared Goff looked even worse yesterday. It lacked any type of excitement throughout the game to like really grab your attention. And I agree with you. I was kind of waiting for the game to pop and waiting for something big and transcendent to happen in the game. And it just never happened really at any point of the game. I don't even think we saw good drives yesterday. Aside from that one Patriots drive to score a touchdown, I mean, we saw one play in the red zone. Like, it was, you know, decent play on first down, incomplete on second down. It'd be third and six, incompletion, punt. What did the Rams have, what, 9 straight punts to start the game yesterday? I mean, Nance got excited about a punt yesterday. Like, Nance was fired up about a punt yesterday. Like, that just told me everything I needed to know about that game.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the greatest game for sure, but it came down to the wire. And when you have a championship game that comes down to the wire, you've always got my attention, whether the score's 13-3 or, you know, 31-28, whatever.
We will get into Brandon Kiley's random facts coming up in just a little bit to learn more about our producer. But, BK, hit me. So, my minute today is about Liam Neeson. I like Liam Neeson. You guys know who I'm talking about. He's a star of Taken. He's basically played the same role in the last, like, 9 movies. Well, he did an interview with Britain's The Independent, where he revealed a story. Sometimes it is better to say nothing at all. So, he came back from an overseas trip to find out that one of his loved ones had been raped. He says, and I quote, "There's something primal. God forbid you ever have a family member of yours hurt under criminal conditions. She handled the situation of rape in the most extraordinary way. But my immediate reaction was, I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down the areas with a nightstick, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that, and I did it for maybe a week, hoping that some black bastard would just come out of a pub and had a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him." Liam Neeson, bruh. Keep that story to yourself. Yeah. Nobody was asking you about that story.
That's cringeworthy.
Nobody was asking you this story. You're telling me you were just walking around with a nightstick and a vigilante just hoping to kill some random black person?
He was playing his role from the movies in real life.
Keep it to yourself,
yeah.
Liam.
Yeah, that's not.
That's just a story I wouldn't tell anybody. Even if it had happened, that's just not a story I would share in public. I didn't learn anything from this story. It wasn't funny. Nothing was gained from this story. Sometimes you just got to keep certain things you've done in your life to yourself. That's my minute for the day.
How old is he now?
He is 66 years old.
Okay, sometimes you get to a certain age, you start saying stuff that you probably shouldn't.
I just can't imagine I don't know who the black person was, but I was walking up and down the streets hoping that I got in a confrontation with one. I just can't imagine that mindset. But, I mean, you know.
Brandon, give me a minute, please. I'm going to play some audio for you, and it's one of my favorite audio clips from last night, the postgame after the Super Bowl, and it's from 37-year-old right tackle Andrew Whitworth.
He should have played better during the game instead of talking after the game.
Fair enough.
He's getting his quarterback beat up.
If you can kill that music for me, BK, here's Andrew Whitworth in postgame last night.
And he's not going to get me to pout and feel sorry for myself. I realize what this game means. I cherish the crap out of it. And I don't give a crap if you have a Hall of Fame bust, if you're, you know, been a Pro Bowler or win 20 Super Bowls. At the end of the day, you're all going to die, and you're all going to have the opportunity to be, play football or not be playing football. And who you are, how you carry yourself, whether you pout and feel sorry for yourself is the only thing that's going to matter, because that's what people are going to remember about you. You know what? And so for me, what means the most is that guys see me hold my head high. They see me confident in them and loving them and there for them in any way I can moving forward.
And that was Andrew Whitworth, the 37-year-old right tackle, the Los Angeles Rams last night after the game. What I love about that, a couple of things. First off, I watched a piece on him in the pregame show, and they followed him around the Super Bowl, his family, him with his kids, his wife, got to know him a little bit better. And, of course, he is 4 years older than his head coach and Sean McVay. But the beautiful thing about what Andrew Whitworth said is that you guys make fun of me for being the old guy on the show, but the truth is the older you get, the better perspective you have on life. And I think that's the perfect perspective to have. Man, it sucks. I gave everything I had out there the Super Bowl. I wanted to win this thing, but when it really comes down to it, at some point I'm not playing football, and I got to handle myself the right way. And that's exactly what he did, in my opinion, after the game. So I loved his perspective, and I think all of us out there, if you're in your 40s or if you're still in your 20s, your reaction would be completely different than it was. So I have a lot of respect for what Andrew Whitworth had to say after the game. It's my minute.
I think if we had to make, like, loser bingo, I think his comments might be on there. Like, no one was debating what he was saying. Like, we all agreed that there's life after football, and it's how you carry yourself off the field. Like, I felt like it was very fake.
How did Cam Newton handle himself after the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, he handled it wrong.
Young guy, powder.
That's the wrong way to do it. I'm not saying that Cam Newton was the right way to do it. I'm just saying is this just felt unnecessarily deep when everybody agrees with what he has to say.
Well, I know, but not everybody can handle themselves that way. I bet you 25-year-old Andrew Whitworth wouldn't have handled himself that way. 37-year-old Andrew Whitworth as a father would. That's why I enjoyed his comments. I thought it was great.
So for my minute today, I'd like to talk about the Super Bowl party that I went to last night. Fanning, I know you enjoyed it on your own. I went to a Super Bowl party with one of my best friends from growing up in high school and a bunch of his other buddies as well. So I found the new worst guy at the Super Bowl party. We were talking about this on Friday, the worst guys at the Super Bowl party. We had a lot of nominations. I would like to add one more to the list. So we did a Super Bowl prop bet list. You have like the top 25 props in the Super Bowl. Each of you go up and down the list and you mark which side you got. So we did that. I ended up winning the prop bets. And when it came time to collect the money from the prop bets, the money from a lot of people wasn't there to be collected.
That's not cool.
Somebody had a hand in the cookie jar.
How much were you supposed to get?
It's supposed to be $10 per person. So there were like 15 people there or so. Okay. So about $150.
Nah, I think I ended hands, up, bro. You owe me money.
I think I ended up with about 50. The problem Seriously? Is I don't know half the people there. Like, I've never met most of these people. They didn't really know who I was. So there's no like Venmo that could switch hands. There's no cash that's going to be switching hands later at a different date.
Who ran the prop bets? Who ran the pool?
My buddy. It was his place.
He owes you money then.
Yeah, he does.
I think I got to collect.
Yeah. No, there's no.
No, there's no. I think you got to collect. you put in your $10 with the expectation of everybody was putting in their $10. Right. You won legally, fair and square. If everybody paid their money, then you should be holding $150. You only got $50. Either some people put their money in, or some people filled out the sheets, realized they didn't win, so then they
That's what happened.
So then they didn't want to put the money in.
They're like, I'm out of here. I'm booking it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they got to pay up. That's on your buddy. He owes you.
Yeah, no, your man owes you $100.
He needs a Ben Franklin, man.
Your man.
ASAP.
Your man owes you $100.
Are you tight enough with him to say, hey, listen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been my best friend since, like,
okay.
You know,
then he knows.
Eighth grade, yeah. So. All right, let's get into the three random facts. Hopefully I don't piss off Carrington this week the way that we did last week.
I mean, if you do, you just only have one random fact, so it's fine.
The first random fact that I've got for you, the top three sporting events I've ever been to. The wild card game. Mizzou KU, the final game in Columbia. One of the most unbelievable finishes I've ever seen. And the PGA Championship last summer in St. Louis. If you've never gone to a major tournament for the PGA, I can't recommend it highly enough. I'm not even a huge golf guy. It was unbelievable.
I always tell people this, and I'm happy that you went to both of them. It was much more tense at the final MUKU game in Mizzou Arena than the wild card game.
Really?
I thought it was more tense.
Yeah, because the finish, like, there's so much on the line. I guess there was in the wild card game, too. But at that point, it was just a celebration of making the playoffs in some ways.
That was completely different. I mean, going into that Missouri game, it was KU won the last game at Hearns Center. This is the last time. Like, I don't think KU will ever play a game at Missouri. I don't think Missouri is ever going to play a game at Allen Fieldhouse. I think eventually they will agree to a neutral site game. I don't think they're ever going to play home and home ever again. So it was the Kansas is going to win their last game in Mizzou Arena. And a lot of people spent a lot of money to be at that game. That it was nervous energy the entire game. Like, the wild card game wasn't nervous energy the entire game.
It was mostly late.
Now, it was for me, man.
Now, it was after they got down. But,
yeah, but I remember walking around the press box of the wild card game, talking to a handful of writers, going, how in the hell are you going to write this one? Because so many changes happen. And I think the beauty of baseball at extra innings, you have no idea when the thing's going to end. You know, at least you got a clock in basketball. But I wasn't there for Mizzou KU, so I don't know.
No, it was incredible.
Late, I agree with you. I'm saying is inning one, inning two was not nervous energy in the building.
Yeah.
It was after Jordano gave up the home run. That's when it became incredibly tense. So think of how you felt those last. It was like that the entire time at Mizzou Arena.
It was also like the anticipation for that game was unlike anything I'd ever seen on Mizzou's campus. Like, there were people camping outside of Mizzou Arena for days before that game to make sure that they got good seats.
Were you still a student? Okay, got it.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college at that time.
Wow. I tell people all the time, I was walking into the stadium. I saw a scalper put up two tickets in the air. A man came up and said, how much? The scalper said $600. The man said, those are my tickets. Reached in his wallet, handed him $600 and walked him.
Yeah, like, it's incredible.
It was kind of one of those days where nobody was selling their extra tickets, and if you had extra tickets, you could just name your price.
I went to college game day that morning and then just stood in line from then until the day that the moment that the ball was tipped.
I remember the last KU-Mizzou game. I was working at Channel 5 at the time, and we were having the discussion in the newsroom, hey, if you had tickets, would you sell them for the last one at Allen Fieldhouse? And I was like, hell yeah, look how much. And they could have got $1,200 a ticket for some of the. And then I watched the game. And I'm like, that would have been the biggest mistake I've ever made in my entire life, to not go to that game and to see how that thing played out.
Random facts number two. I truly believe that Jamal Charles should be a Hall of Famer. No?
Okay. I thought you had an argument of why he should be in the Hall of Fame. I was waiting on the argument.
Okay, I think he's the guy that leads the NFL in yards per carry in the history of football. I don't think that you can tell the story of the NFL from 2008 to 2013-ish without talking about Jamal Charles. And I think that's a big piece of being a Hall of Famer.
I just think that the standard for being in the Hall of Fame is just kind of set, and Jamal just doesn't reach it. Then I'm with you. If Jamal had played on a team that won a championship, I think Jamal Charles would be in the Hall of Fame. But he's not Terrell Davis. Like,
That's the name that popped in my head.
He wasn't a key part of a championship team. So even though I think he was better over a longer period of time than Terrell Davis, I don't think he has any chance of getting it.
Final random fact for you guys. I once said that the Patriots dynasty was over because they traded Jamie Collins and they wouldn't be able to defend Le'Veon Bell in the postseason. That just so happened to be the same year that the Patriots beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl with that amazing comeback.
That's kind of a Liam Neeson story, not to the extent, but that's one of those you probably didn't have to let everybody know.
I haven't made that mistake since.
Gotcha. I feel like every single person listening has picked KU to lose the Big 12 at some point during the streak and has said the Patriots dynasty is over at some point. Like, every single person
I'm in that group.
You know what? I mean, Baylor's got a chance to win it this year. They didn't win it. Everybody's like, man, you know what? Brady looks kind of old. I think the Patriots are done. So I'll cut you a little slack for that. I think everybody has done that. Pop quiz.
Going to air.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. All you got to do is identify this TV show. BK, hit it.
Someone once told me time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
If you know what TV show that is, you call number 6-913-576-7610. Coming up in just a little bit, Fanning thinks that yesterday was a what-if bowl. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.